Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
And Elder Care Radio is brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, where we are trying to provide the best possible life for everybody in this community, especially at those times when they need us the most. And we're really happy to be here today. Today, I think, is just going to be a bouquet of information. A bouquet of information. We've got lots of little stories and interesting facts, one of which we'll just start with. Things have changed. Last week, we went through and explained that we do the senior center, and here in St. George, we did that twice a month, maybe. Now, the senior center has contacted us and would like us to do that exclusively. So I'm going to go with We Are the People's Choice Award winner.
All right.
In providing care at the senior center.
Does that mean you're going every week?
We're going every week.
Yeah.
Every Monday at 9:30 to 11:30. So we would really like anybody who's here to come out and see us, and we'd love to get together with you.
And let me just give a plug for the senior centers in St. George and Hurricane. Those are the two that I'm familiar with. The employees there are truly kind and desire everybody to find things of interest and to find friends and activities that will interest our senior community here. If you have not been to the senior community ever or recently, you should take the time to go. Check their calendar out on the website if you want to, but you need to go. There is something for everyone. And in a community where we have so many single seniors, you should take advantage of that. It's a great place to meet people of like mind, of like interest, just to have some people to communicate with. And as we've all discussed in the past, living a very sedentary life is not necessarily the highest quality of life. Right. As a matter of fact, it can reduce your life expectancy, believe it or not. So get out. If you need rides, they have a ride program where they'll pick you up and drop you off at your home. You don't even need to be able to drive. But there are so many activities throughout the week. I know you'll find something of interest. Even if your goal is to just go to one activity a week, get out of your house and go. If you need help finding some points of interest, if you want us to, you know, bring a calendar by, whatever it is that we can do to help you facilitate that or to find the help you need, please give our office a call. We really do just want to help, and we want you to live a higher quality of life for as long as you can live.
435-477-6999. Let's throw that out there.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah.
In unrelated news, I was doing reading, and, you know, we're always looking for solutions and things that we can use to better people's lives, and you come across some information that is a little bit scary, and that is...
Oh, I don't want to be scared.
So there was a study done by Johns Hopkins University, and they looked at records over an 8-year period, medical records, and they found that... errors in medical care probably cause 250,000 deaths a year.
Wow.
Which makes that the third largest type of mortality behind cancer and heart disease and ahead of respiratory disease.
And COVID-19.
Well, the study was done before COVID.
We're talking facts, not fiction. Yeah. So today we're going to focus just on the facts. But here's the interesting part. We have been saying for a number of years that you must be your own best medical advocate. And yet we still have people every day that we talk to that just say, well, I just let my doctor make all the decisions. And while I am sure your doctor is lovely and you have a wonderful relationship with them, this is not criticism of your doctor. This is facts about your doctor. Our insurance and healthcare and insurance in this country really does require your doctor to have a lot of patients. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you work for a major hospital, you probably have between 1,800 and 2,000 patients. If you, I should say, if you bill major insurance companies. Mm-hmm. You probably have between 1,800 to 2,000 patients in order to be successful.
And some doctors have up to 2,300.
That's right. And so does it even make sense for us to expect our doctors to remember the details about our health care? Even if it was just a couple weeks ago, and I had that situation just this week, where you can read through the paperwork from a primary caregiver from February to April. He did not, clearly in his April notes, he did not remember some of the procedures that he had done in February, because he very clearly said that he's going to test for these things and I suspect this, and he couldn't have that because you took that out in February. Like, okay, so not criticism, but they take 5-10 minutes before they enter your door, right, your room. Mm-hmm. So they might see you, Andy, and say, Andy, you have an 18-year-old. And they might know little tiny or big details about that give you this sense of confidence that he remembers me. But does he remember that he took your gallbladder out? I mean,
right.
Maybe not.
Can I give you an example?
Please.
I have a friend who had to, the doctor noticed some imbalances in a blood test, ordered a brain scan, a CAT scan, whatever they call it, the scan on the brain.
Yeah.
The follow-up appointment, this friend of mine went in to find the results and find out what happened with the brain scan. Went into the doctor. The doctor said, hi, why are you here? What can I help you with?
Right.
And she said, well, you know, the brain scan. And they're like,
Did you have a brain scan?
That's exactly what the doctor said.
I know. And so you really do have to advocate for yourself. And again, I'm not trying to give the doctors a hard time. I'm trying to give us as individuals a reality check. It makes no sense for us to believe that our doctors will remember the details mm-hmm. that are very personal to you. You won't forget one of them. You cannot expect your doctors to remember every detail about your health care. You must do that.
Well, and I think it's reasonable to understand that in the battle for your own health, the more players we have that are actively engaged in that, the better. And there is nobody more effective at being actively engaged in your own health than you are. You know, when your doctor prescribes a medication and you don't know what it's supposed to do, so you can't give him feedback on whether or not it's working, that's not the best answer. If you are given a medication, you don't know what it's for or what it's expected to do and what are the upsides and downsides, then you should probably ask those questions. And we've gone through that before. It's really important that you be your own best medical advocate and have an understanding of what's going on. Even if it's uncomfortable for you, do that, because we want you to live the absolute best life and the best health possible for as long as you can. And there are plenty of things in the world that are opposed to that, and we are trying to do all that we can. But you have to be engaged and make sure that you avoid those problems that you can avoid.
Right. And Richard, you mentioned medications. So we've talked about this before, and it's not really something that we were going to spend a lot of time on today, but just kind of a quick summary. You should write down every one of your medications and take that medication list with you to every doctor appointment. Why, you might ask? Because your primary care physician and your specialist, like your kidney doctor and your heart doctor, they are not reviewing each specialist's individual's medication profile. If you don't walk in there with that list, they may not realize when they ask you, so have you had any pain? And you say, yeah, I have pain. And you don't mention, I'm on a pain medication for my kidney specialist or my heart specialist for it. You may end up with another pain pill. And then,
or multiple blood pressure medications,
exactly,
or multiple cholesterol medications. There's a wide variety, and we've had plenty of experiences with people who, when they look at their meds and they've got 13 or 23 of them, and most of those are duplicates mm-hmm. from different doctors, it's pretty obvious that they weren't engaged enough to understand that they have to be involved in that battle too for their own health.
And we've also talked about how every medication, well, most medications either already have an established time period that you're supposed to be on them and not exceed it. Like, I don't know if many of you realize this, but Ambien is really a short-term fix to what could potentially be a long-term problem. So a lot of people have been using Ambien for years. You should be looking into what minerals or vitamins do they deplete my body of, because I probably need to offset that with, you know, supplementation. So those are really important facts. You should know how, ask your doctor when you're going on any med and write a note on that paper that I told you to bring with you with a list of all your medications.
Yeah.
Write on there how long you're supposed to be on that med. Remember, our bodies also adapt to medications, so they may be less effective, and instead of just constantly increasing, maybe you, if there's multiple options, you might want to switch around and come back to those medications for the best effectiveness instead of just working your way up to 6 pills a day or what have you. But if you don't ask, if you aren't an integral part of your health care, you won't be finding yourself in the best position with the best care available.
But you know, Kaylee, the generation, our generation and older, we were taught, you know, do what the doctor says.
You're
that,
right.
That is what you're supposed to do. Just go in and do what the doctor tells you to do. And so it's almost like trying to turn an aircraft carrier to get people's mind thinking, I have to participate in my health care. It seems like, I mean, you guys are fighting this battle, and it just seems so hard because we've been taught, especially, you know, if you're 60, 70, 80, you've always been taught, just do what the doctor says.
Thank you so much for mentioning that, because I couldn't agree with you more. We hear it every day, and we keep saying, no, you must, and here's the reasons why. But it really is almost a brain block that this is something I don't have to worry about. It. I just put it in the lap of my doctor. Mm-hmm. But trust me, we have been fortunate enough to have several patients qualify from our hospice program in a good way, because they no longer need it, and it was strictly because their medication profile was killing them.
Yeah, would you say that that's graduated or flunked hospice, if you if you get well enough that you no longer qualify?
It's kind of an oxymoron, huh?
But in any case, we
like
are
the positive.
Yeah, we are happy that you know, we've been able to change so many lives, and that's part of the reason that we keep saying these things on the radio, is to get more and more people to understand. You're not doing anything wrong by being engaged in your own health care. You are doing what's best for you, and I don't believe that there's a doctor out there who would be offended that you've asked reasonable questions, and maybe in a way that they've been reminded of some information that they may not have had previously.
Right.
So I think that's really important.
I've heard doctors actually say that they really appreciate that the family or the member was engaged in their health care. It's actually a positive thing. So don't feel like you're being offensive or questioning their knowledge, experience, or education. They actually appreciate your involvement in your own health care.
Right. So we were watching television this last week and saw an advertisement for a product. And I thought it was interesting. It's called Plenity. I don't know if anybody's seen that. It's a weight loss.
It's a weight loss. And so immediately I go and Google search, oh, how does this work?
Yeah.
Andy, have you seen the ad?
No.
Okay. So it's a pretty recent ad. They just started this television campaign. And it's a weight loss product. And the claims are that it's I'm going to read it to you. I wasn't sure if I could play the ad, so I just brought the actual script. It's a 60-second ad, but this is the last 30 seconds. Meet Plenity, an FDA-cleared, clinically proven weight management aid for adults with a BMI of 25 to 40 when combined with diet and exercise. Plenity is not a drug. It is made from natural-derived building blocks that help you feel fuller and eat less. It is a prescription-only treatment and not for pregnant women or for people allergic to its ingredients. And it's interesting. That sounds pretty reasonable.
I was going to say, what did you hear in that? Did you hear?
You know what I heard? It's natural, but you still need a prescription. That kind of is a little bit suspicious.
Yeah. And suspicious, but when I go through this, you're going to find out, man, that's really suspicious in the wrong way. So,
what about FDA cleared? Like,
yeah,
the first time I heard that, I guess I didn't think too much about it. I was like, oh, FDA approved.
No, it's not FDA approved. The FDA has not really examined it. So if you do a little bit of research, you find out that it's the reason it's FDA cleared is because the FDA has determined that the ingredients in it have no impact on the body. Therefore, it's not a drug, right? The Food and Drug Administration doesn't have a ruling on it, but they've looked at it because it is methylcellulose and citric acid. Those are the two ingredients. Nothing in the drug form. In fact, they call it a device anyway, right? They actually use the word device in some of their other marketing.
Can I just quickly interject that we are not trashing? I don't want you to say the name of the pill again. Because we're not trashing them, we're saying you must advocate for yourself and you must be informed.
Yeah, be aware.
If you hear things that sound too good to be true,
they probably are.
If you hear something you have to say, that's interesting, look it up or have one of your kids look it up, because not everything is exactly as it appears.
Right. In fact, let me go to the support side of this, that there is proof that methylcellulose and or psyllium, both of those are two different products but do similar things. If you take that, it expands in your stomach 100 times its original volume, which should make you a little fuller.
Like an Orbi.
Right. The other part of it, do not eat Orbeez. Okay.
I don't even know what that is.
So the other part of it is that they want you to take these pills, three of these pills, with 16 ounces of water half an hour before you eat. Now, here's the deal. We know that drinking a significant amount of water half an hour before you eat will relieve some of your brain's desire to eat. Right? Mm-hmm. It'll satisfy your thirst. A lot of people interpret thirst as hunger. So it satisfies the thirst. It fills our stomach a little bit, and you throw some of this other stuff in, and now all of a sudden we're full, and that's calorie neutral. There's nothing in it that we're just going to pass that all the way through. So really, there's nothing wrong with the product. It probably does the job, but it's a prescription because that's where the money is. And that's part of this that's really concerning. It's $98 for 30 doses, and it's two doses a day.
Ooh.
That's an expensive product.
It is. Especially when really what you're drinking is something similar to little gelatin water before you eat.
Well, Citracell is methylcellulose.
Right.
And so if you...
The fiber.
Yeah, it's just fiber. And so Citracell's that, and Metamucil is psyllium, and both of those will do similar things. Not exactly the same. You might try one or the other. But the functional part of it is absolutely true, and I think it was interesting that they did this on a prescription basis. You can only get it from one location, a website, because it's not a drug that would normally be held by a pharmacist. At $98 for 15 days, that's a lot of money for this. They did do clinical studies and found that it did help people lose weight to a certain point. The expectation is 5 to 8% weight loss for some people. That's kind of the expectation, according to one article. They said they had a good effect in 50% of the people, up to 15% weight loss. Those are significant numbers, but you don't need to be paying $98 every 2 weeks for that benefit. And so we would encourage you to know. If you did the research, you'd be able to say, well, yeah, maybe I will have a glass of Citracell or Metamucil or some off-brand of those half an hour before I eat and see if that makes a difference. And if it does, then we are happy that we were able to help you today.
And if you add the magnesium citrate to that, you'll probably also have regular bowel movements.
Right. So magnesium is another interesting thing that we probably aren't going to cover today because we're already running out of time. We've got some other things. These are some points that we want to make. The U.S. and New Zealand are the only two countries that allow for pharmaceuticals to be advertised directly to the populace. Okay? Direct-to-consumer advertising.
Fun facts. Listen carefully to this. Okay. I mean, I love hate them.
All right. So the pharmaceutical company over the last few years, on a yearly basis, they spent $4 billion, let's see, what's that number? $4.5 billion dollars on supporting, on advertising, okay? Mm-hmm. Which ends up being 75, and this is all television targeted, and that is 75% of all the revenue that television brings in. So we know that the pharmaceutical companies have a huge sway in how television and the media interpret things. With spending that much money and supporting all of the morning news and afternoon news and evening news and, you know, others. Oh, okay. We know that they have a big sway, and we just have to protect ourselves from being influenced unreasonably. Okay. So again, it was $4.78 billion in the U.S. spent by the pharmaceutical companies.
That is a lot of money. Why do we imagine that the pharmaceutical companies would spend $4.78 billion with a B dollars in advertising when we're one of two countries in the entire world that will allow it? It must ring clear to you that there's something in advertising that promotes us to ask our doctors to test us for things, to inquire about, can I have this med? It increases their sales exponentially.
Right.
And when we have Medicare systems and insurance programs here that cover all those meds, for the most part, I mean, interesting, most of this is probably spent, and I couldn't find any statistics on this, most of this is probably spent on, I'm going to say, the non-typical medications, where the things that people need for life and death, like insulin, you don't see a lot of advertising about insulin. You also don't see any breaks with them, you know, any great coupons for those people that don't have insurance.
So be your own best medical advocate. Be aware of what you're taking into your body and what you think you need. Talk to your doctor. I'm sure that most doctors, if they knew that this product was just that, they may make a different recommendation. Your doctors are a great resource, but only if you actually converse with them. Give them information so that they can give you information. So we have some fun facts that we want to get in here before.
We do.
You got about 3 minutes for us.
We have 3 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Let's start with, you know, a lot of people think that aging, this was a good point. When is the, according to the baby boomers, when is old?
72.
72. That's the age at which.
That's what we see. But, you know, I remember one time my mom said to me, what is middle age to you? And I said, 50. At 50, you're middle age. And that was because 100, I don't know, was a benchmark. Was it a benchmark or was it just a number? It was a number. And my mom said, wow, if middle age was 50, that would mean that you would live to 100. How many people do you really think live to 100? And that was kind of reality check, right? Like, 50
is
not middle age.
Like 38 or something then, right?
Let's not talk about that.
We left that behind a while ago, Kaylee.
Let's not talk about that. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, so middle age is okay. I think 72 is an interesting number as far as what baby boomers think would be getting old. Some interesting things that went on. Colonel Sanders, who started Kentucky Fried Chicken, do you know when at what age he really got that rolling? 62 years old.
Wow.
I think we could spend a whole program on the fun facts.
Yeah, Ray Kroc, he was 58 or 59
when he took
over McDonald's from the McDonald's brothers and blew it into what it was.
Richard, he was, how old were you when you started Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care?
Well, I'm
in his 50s. How about that?
Yeah, I'm 59 now, so I'm behind Ray Kroc, I think. Yeah. I don't think I got to
his. Oh, you're close. Yeah. You were close.
So those, you know, there's just so many things that we really appreciate about being here in this community and being on the radio and having Andy back us up. Andy, you said that you had some interesting facts.
Well, I don't know. You kind of scared me a little bit. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but it was
we do.
It was Dr. Jack, Dr. Death. They called him Dr. Death, the assisted suicide guy.
Jack Kevorkian, right?
Yeah, served 8 years in prison. And on this date, I think it was 2001 or something, he got out of prison, vowed to, though he wouldn't assist any more suicides, he vowed to kind of carry that banner and let people have the right to end their own lives if they were at the end of life and in a lot of pain.
Right.
So interesting. I didn't know when I saw this morning. I didn't know he had served 8 years in prison for that.
Oh yeah, yeah. And there are still states and countries that allow for, I guess, assisted suicide. They term it. That's I think moral decision for people. We do not have euthanasia laws in Utah. I'm happy to say, although. People do kind of believe that hospice sometimes assists in that. And I will tell you, they're not supposed to. They really aren't supposed to. And that's never been our philosophy. In fact, we have come across many patients that have almost had that fear that if I select hospice, then you're just going to help me die comfortably.
Well, and it's not assisted suicide. It is, I'm going to decide that it's time for you to leave this mortal existence. And that is completely wrong. But I know that there have been people, and that's why you brought that up, there have been people in this community and elsewhere that actually believe that that's what hospice does. And it's It couldn't be further from the truth than that we're making those decisions and trying to, you know, decide for people what they should and shouldn't do.
Some have had that experience, but you will never have that experience. I will guarantee that at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We always leave the choices of your care to you so that you can live your best quality of life for as long as you can live.
435-477-6999.